Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from TDG Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TDG. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Fletcher Morgan. Now, TDG is focused in the Tootagong production corridor, north central BC. Company holds the Shasta project, and over the last couple weeks has been releasing a lot of drill results from this project, from the drill program from last year. Also holds the Baker project. This is an historic mine that is right beside Shasta, or at least really close, as well as the Metz project. But again, focus being on Shasta. We will post a link below this interview to the TDG website and their news section so you can dive into any of these news releases we're going to talk about. Look, there were a lot of pretty good drill results that came out of some of the recent news releases. Fletcher, can you just go through and review the overall program from last year? How many meters were drilled and what the key test was going to be in terms of the different areas you were testing?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back on the show here. Look, when we last spoke, I think we outlined the progress that we'd made. We'd drilled in 2021 just over 8,000 meters of oriented core. We had some very clear objectives that we wanted to achieve at the Shasta project, the first being an exercise in validation of the historical drilling. There was over 28,000 meters of historical drilling undertaken at Shasta, the majority of which was narrow gauge core, BQ, NQ core. We wanted to get back in there and drill HQ oriented core, so bigger diameter, to get a better representative sample of the style of mineralization that is characteristic there. And I think what we've seen through the results we published, and I know we want to get on to the latest results, and they're extremely important, but just to say that what we're seeing is positive reconciliation between what we're drilling and the historical drilling that took place there. And when I say positive, I mean the gold grade seems to be stepping up and the silver grade seems to be stepping significantly higher, and that's exciting. Not least, obviously, in terms of the potential to drive Shasta through to a production decision in the near to midterm. But what's also happened in our latest sets of results, the last two news releases, is something very important. Now, the news release that we put out on February the 7th was a step out 700 meters to the south of the small-scale historical workings at Shasta. Why was that important? Well, the first thing is that it was known that there was mineralization down there. The holes that were drilled down there historically were all in the same orientation, east to west. They got sniffs of interesting grade, but nothing really to excite them to want to undertake any development work, and certainly no extraction down there. What we did was we repeated some of that drill orientation, but we also adjusted it based on the concept that the controlling structures down there may themselves change orientation. And we were fortunate enough in a couple of our holes, holes number 15 and 22, to snag into a high-grade zone there, including a bonanza-grade hit of 1.5 meters of 50-gram gold and just under 5 kilos of silver. And that for us is important for a few reasons. Not least, it's a great result, but also it changes our thinking in terms of how to go about exploring from that point, 700 meters to the south, back up to to where the historical extraction was really focused in the JM and the creek zones. So that's really important. The other thing is that there are other outlying target areas of known historical mineralization, again, where they got these interesting sniffs of 1, 2, 4 meters of, 2, 3, 5, 6 gram gold and gold equivalent that were just not enough in terms of continuity and grade to want to mine historically, but for us could be extremely interesting as we continue to, understand how Shasta works, these parallel structures, and therefore what the true extent of the bulk tonnage opportunity might be at Shasta. Now, I know that's a lot to take on, but I do, I do want to then move on to the latest drill result that we published on February the 22nd, so earlier this week. And that's important because it was the first hole that we're aware of that actually went right the way across between the JM zone and the Creek zone. And those were, again, where the historical extraction was focused, small scale. It was a combination of open pit work and small scale underground, 3 by 3 meter drifts, chasing the high grade and ultra high grade that was known to exist. Well, we've drilled that first hole that's gone right the way across. And the concept that we were testing there was, well, okay, look, if you accept that there's halo star mineralization around the high grade, which is characteristic of these deposits in this area, and we've shown it in our drill results that we published since early January. Well, if you accept that, well, what happens where these halos potentially meet? And the good news is that we have seen continuity of mineralization for pretty much the entire length of that 273 meter length hole, with a 194 meter composite of just over 1.4 grams gold equivalent. So what that gives us immediate confidence is that when we're considering not only our next stage drilling, but also how we need to approach that from a potential economic perspective, that we're dealing with something that isn't high grade narrow zones, but we're dealing with something that to us appears to be more like a big brecciated blob. And in that sense, fantastic for potential bulk tonnage type operations in the future.
Well, Fletcher, there's a lot to unpack there, but two of the biggest takeaways to me seem to be what you just mentioned about the continuity of mineralization and this big brecciated blob that you just mentioned, that it's going to make it a better bulk tonnage deposit when you start putting some studies to it. But the other thing that really I think stands out, and maybe you could unpack this a little bit more, is that you guys had this concept about the change in the geometry and the change in the structures underneath. And when you drilled that 700 meter step out that you announced on February 7th, to me, that seems like a game changer in how you're going to be changing your exploration focus moving forward. So could you explain to listeners why that's important for the company?
Absolutely. So when we walked into the season, 2021 field season, we were anticipating drilling 8,000 to 10,000 meters, where we felt that we would be testing 60 to 65% of the obvious mineralization at Shasta. And because of the drill results that we've announced so far, we now feel that we've exited the year actually really testing 25 to 30%. Of the obvious mineralization at Shasta. And so that geometrical change, that it's related to the faults that go through Shasta and the horsetailing, certainly of those faults towards the south and towards the south east of the deposit. And so what we're starting to see there is controls changing orientation. And we changed the orientation on the drilling, and we feel that we've tapped into a subvertical zone of higher grade mineralization. The actual composite that we announced was just over 16 meters of just under 17 and a half grams gold equivalent. And we feel that if we can leverage the oriented core that we drilled, so to get that deeper understanding of how the vein orientations relate to the mineralization, along with the controls that we're seeing, that we can start to unpack where there might be others of these. And so what we're now feeling, and we've got more results to publish, is that Shasta, in our mind, now remains open potentially to the north-northwest, to the north-northeast, to the northeast, to the east, to the southeast and south-southeast, and also to the south. So open effectively in, you know, over 180 degrees, and also now at depth. And that hole that we drilled and announced on February the 22nd, hole 26, and all of the drill results have been published on our website, so your listeners can go through and look at them. What we're seeing there as well, which is important, is it's to our knowledge, is one of the deepest holes drilled at Shasta in terms of its vertical depth at the end of hole. So it goes down to about 170 meters depth. And a couple of important things is we're seeing no significant base metals appearing in the drill assays. So that to us it implies that we're still within the gold silver zone. Okay, and the fact that it was still we're still seeing mineralization at the end of hole beyond the controlling structure there, the Shasta fault, indicates to us that Shasta has some more secrets that we're still to unlock. And so what that means then, to bring it back to your question, which is, okay, well, how does that change what we do in this coming season? Well, the obvious thing for us is now to infill the area between that 700 meter step out back up to the known small scale areas of small scale production, to infill that area, and also to potentially change orientation on some of the drill holes in that area because of that horsetailing of the control structures. But then absolutely to get out and test some of the 4 to 5 other outlying areas of known mineralization, again, that they knew from historical drilling existed but never followed up on for whatever reason. So it's really changed our vision of Shasta. We would like to do some more infill drilling, certainly around the JM and Creek zones in 2022, to give ourselves more confidence, statistical confidence in the grade, from, you know, lending itself obviously to certain production scenarios that we may want to contemplate over the next 12 months or so. But it really is now to ask ourselves the bigger questions at Shasta: is how big could this thing be? Where are the extent of the mineralization at Shasta? You know, do we have, we always knew that we had something special at Shasta, not least because of the infrastructure that we've got there. We've got the mill. The last ore that went through that mill in 2012 was the Shasta ore. We've also taken metallurgical samples, and your listeners can expect us to publish results from those in due course as well. And, you know, the good news is that the historical production that took place there, they really knew what they were doing. Our questions that we asked ourselves is, would we get similar, you know, recoveries from lower grade, you know, medium and lower grade mineralization? So, you know, we've got those results to come as well. But all of this is lending itself to us asking that bigger question: is how big could Shasta now be?
Okay, so what I'm taking away from here, some of these recent drill results have changed your guys' general outlook on this asset because of the fact that it's not just high-grade veins. And you still have a number of other targets that you want to at least test, and you still want to grow Shasta, but you also mentioned that you want some infill drilling. What is the overall focus then, Fletcher? Is it to continue to make new discoveries and show the grand potential of this project, or is it to do more infill drilling and work towards a resource?
It's actually both. So if you can imagine a 10,000 meter program in the coming season at Shasta, you would expect it to be roughly 50-50 in terms of infill drilling in that zone between that 700 meter step out back up to the areas of historical extraction. So roughly 5,000 meters potentially in that kind of area. And then another 5,000 meters of drilling testing some of these concepts that we've now got based on the orientation changing parallel zones and the potential to the north, northwest for the grade to continue and in actual fact increase. It's got to be a combination, because we're still wedded to the concept that Shasta, you know, it was mined historically and will be mined again. So we're still wedded to that concept, and we'd like to see that happen in the nearer term rather than the longer term. But equally, we're still now asking these bigger questions: as how big could Shasta actually be? Not just in terms of potential bulk tonnage, but, you know, are there satellite pods of mineralization that, for example, could be either, you know, could be open pit mined themselves separately, or could be attacked from the underground? So we've got some incredibly interesting questions that have all come out of that first drill program last year. We've still got, I think it's 32 mineral, you know, holes from last year to publish. So a lot more results to come. But equally, those really are more focused in and around the zones of known historical extraction. So really painting that picture of continuity in those zones with respect to important information for us from potentially driving this project through in the nearer term through PEA and on to pre-feasibility. So combination of work. I don't want to sound like I'm sitting on the fence at all. In fact, the complete opposite. We've now actually divided our team up into effectively two groups. The first group is working on results and resource. We still have the ambition of publishing the inaugural mineral resource estimate for Shasta in the first half of this year. And our second team is working on targeting. You cannot have this kind of information, this kind of grade, these kind of step outs, and not ask yourself deep questions with respect to what else may be in those outlying zones at Shasta.
So it sounds like a lot of work still to do here, which is not a bad thing. A lot of drilling on tap and then working through resources and economics. How much money do you guys have then, Fletcher? Because this is going to cost some money, and right now it's very important for exploration companies to have that cash in the bank.
Absolutely. So as of right now, we've got just under $2 million in treasury, $1 million hard dollars and $1 million of flow through. We will be seeking to to undertake a capital raise to support an expanded drill program this season. If for whatever reason the market isn't responsive to the quality and, quite frankly, excellent results that we published, then of course we'll have to revisit that. As a company, we want to be very surgical at Shasta this year. Our key metric is discovery cost per mineable ounce at Shasta. That's what we're focused on. And so in that sense, if we can't get the support, then we'll continue to reflect and revisit the potential for a larger capital raise further through the season. And one of the advantages that we've got in that regard is the fact that we are road accessible. We have put in place a 50-person, state-of-the-art, fully winterized camp, meaning that we can drill all year round. And actually, that has been demonstrated by some of our neighbors who are operating up there as well. They're drilling right now, and we could be doing the same. What we need to do, though, is obviously get through these results, process those, undertake that targeting work, and then put together a plan that that we can execute in the remainder of the year. And I'm confident that we'll do it.
Okay. Thank you for the update here, Fletcher. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you. And as I mentioned, we'll post a link below this interview so each and every one of you can dive into the individual news releases. Fletcher, thanks again for your time. We'll chat again soon.
Thank you.